Welcome to the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. When it comes to agriculture, what would it be like if we didn't have to rework the land to plant annual crops? Well, that's the basic idea behind permaculture. Melissa Passanen is a freelance journalist and contributor to the food section of 7 Days, and she's here to enlighten us on this subject. Melissa, welcome back to the VPR Cafe.
Thanks so much for having me, Rick.
Give us the 411 on permaculture.
Okay, this is a real top level. So basically, it's a word that comes from permanent and agriculture, an integrated ecological and environmental design that the goal is a more sustainable form of agriculture based on perennial plants. And this, for listeners who may not be familiar with the terms, is plants that you don't have to replant, things that you plant once and they live for years. And so perennial plants in permaculture system serve as both a source of food for people and animals, and a way to build, rebuild, and protect healthy ecosystems.
So instead of planting corn, we might plant a tree.
Yes, with nuts or fruits.
Exactly. You visited the East Hill Tree Farm in Plainfield. What was the path that its owner, Nico Rubin, took to farming?
East Hill Tree Farm is Nico's 10-year-old nursery and landscape design business. He actually calls it edible landscaping, but it is grounded in the philosophy of permaculture, and we talked a lot about that. He grew up right there across the road from where he currently has his business, and as he described his parents, they were back to the landers, came to Vermont in the 70s, and he grew up with, a big vegetable garden, with chickens. In the early years, there were pigs, and there was an old apple tree that bore delicious fruit. My new favorite apple, by the way, it's called a Bethel. He had a tree house in that tree, and it's still standing. There was a plum tree that occasionally gave fruit. Neighbors would bring over pears. He ended up going away to school to study fine art and sculpture, and then he traveled really far. He spent 4 months working on organic farms in India. And every time he came home from his travels, he said to me, "I wondered, why does the food at my mom's house taste better than anywhere else?" And he kind of realized he had been taking for granted this local bounty that he grew up with.
And then how did he become exposed to and enamored with this idea of permaculture?
So interestingly enough, he first became exposed to it when he was traveling in India. He was exposed to a book by a gentleman named Bill Mollison, who is kind of known as the father of permaculture. And he said he also, at the time when he was traveling through India, saw these banana trees that were actually producing fruit while simultaneously playing a role in a wastewater treatment system. He said to me, he didn't get it yet, but that is sort of part of it, that these plants can produce fruit and then they can also contribute to the healthier environment.
This is the VPR Cafe. I'm Rick Singeri. With me today is freelance food writer and 7 Days contributor, Melissa Passanen, and we're discussing permaculture. Melissa, how specifically is Nico Rubin putting this idea of permaculture into practice?
So we actually learned specifically how to do this kind of agriculture. When he did come back from India, he ended up going to a school called the Conway School in Northampton, Mass, where he got a master's degree in sustainable landscape planning. And there were many students and teachers there who were permaculture advocates. So he really just fell in love with the idea of it. He said the framing of it was beautiful to me. It's a design system for a sustainable human relationship to land and place and a holistic integration with natural systems. So on his 5-acre-plus operation now, you can see all of that. It's a nursery, as I mentioned, so he sells plants. He also propagates plants for some other businesses, some cider makers and Fedco Seeds in Maine. People may have heard of them. And everywhere are just these unexpected trees that, chestnuts with these big balls of sort of prickly green, fruits that are the fruits, peach trees, and just tons of apple varieties that are grafted onto other apple varieties, hazelnuts, little Korean pine trees that are going to produce pine nuts someday, tart cherries, elderberries, kiwi vines with these delicious little edible kiwis, and then seaberry was one of my favorite. That's a nitrogen-fixing shrub. job, and it has vibrant orange berries, which I've tasted before, not so great. But he has a variety that I thought was absolutely delicious. And then he also has examples of the natural systems model there. So he has a constructed wetland and a pond. Those help to slow and filter runoff so that things that we don't want don't go into the tributaries of the main waterways and end up in Lake Champlain. And one of my favorite things is he has a flock of geese and ducks that help keep the grass down, the weeds down, and eat insects. And then they become food in his freezer for the winter.
I know Buzz Ferver at Perfect Circle Farm in Berlin is another devotee of this idea of permaculture. And I understand Nico grew up next door to another person who was an early practitioner.
Yes, this man, John Wires, was a longtime neighbor of Nico and his family. He lived just half a mile up the hill. And apparently he was a World War II veteran, former history teacher, who had moved to Vermont partly to help himself deal with post-traumatic stress disorder. And he came to Plainfield, sort of drawn by the Goddard College community in the early 60s, and then settled. And he focused on what he called tree cropping. So he'd cultivate a range of fruit and nut trees. And Nico knew sort of he was there growing up and knew that he was growing these chestnuts and hardy kiwis and funky sour cherries. But he had no idea that he was practicing permaculture till he went away and studied it. And then it became clear that this guy was really ahead of his time.
What is the season for these fruit and nut trees?
So actually, it goes fairly late in the fall. So Nico will be open on weekends through the end of October. And then in November, people could make appointments to go there. And he actually says you can plant up until the ground freezes. And it's actually apparently a great time to plant many of these berries, fruits, and nut trees. So people, if they're still interested, can check that out.
Melissa Passanen is a freelance journalist and contributor to the food section of 7 Days. Melissa, thanks again for joining us at the VPR Cafe.
Always fun to chat with you, Rick.
And listeners, we have plenty of delicious past episodes of the cafe. You can go to vpr.net and search VPR Cafe.